The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers. Change only happens when we, the people, become part of the solution. That's why more and more patriotic Americans are tuning in to the Power Hour. Now, here's your host, Dave Krieger.
And once again, welcome back. It's high noon here where we are. And of course, Keith Gross is in Florida right now. He is running for U.S. Senate to try to disrupt the status quo in Washington. And we've had Keith on the show before, and he learned his business education running a gas station. Well, I'll tell you what, you want to get down and dirty in the trench, that's a big thing. He's got a book out called Dirt Roads to Runways, Defending the American Dream for the Next Generation. He's an entrepreneur, a pilot, an attorney, a conservative activist. I was almost ready to start with the butcher, the baker, and the candlestick maker. I mean, what haven't you done, sir?
Welcome to the show. I've been a busy fella. Thanks. It's good to be with you.
Yes, you have been. So here's the thing. The Florida Panhandle, boy, that's a long stretch of road. I've driven it multiple times. I-10 takes you from one end to the other, from Jacksonville to Pecola, and I just am, having lived there, I know. But so, success story. You've served the National Guard. You got a law degree. Now you're in Florida. Member of the Florida Bar. I know a lot of people, when they think about bar, they think of a private club. I mean, obviously, you've dug into some of the truisms here. But the thing is because of the fact that you have done some political analysis, do you believe that there is a plot of some sort to replace Biden as the Democrats' candidate of choice, and why?
You know, I'm definitely more of a business guy, not a politician or a political strategist, but, you know, I've got common sense, and it sure doesn't make any sense to me that the Democrats would want to run Joe Biden, who can barely string a few words together, against Donald Trump, who is a force of nature, sharp as a tack. He's ready to actually lead the country, whereas I think everybody knows Joe Biden is not leading the country. So now that they're going to have a harder time stealing an election without COVID, I can't imagine they want to run Joe Biden. I think they're going to pull a last-second switcheroo and try to run somebody like Michelle Obama or Gavin Newsom, anybody but Joe Biden. I think that's why they agreed to debate, because they're going to say, well, he couldn't perform at the debate. Now we got to move on. He's too old, and hope that everybody gives basically a sympathy vote saying, well, he's this elderly man, kind of like the DOJ did when they decided not to prosecute him, saying he wasn't fit to stand trial because he's basically too mentally unfit.
But he took documents out of the White House that were classified when he was vice president, and that is not allowed. You don't have that kind of leeway to do, and they don't want to prosecute him at all. I mean, it, besides the 25th Amendment, the two-tiered system of justice, is that another reason why you're running? I mean, as an attorney, I mean, you could see this plain as day.
Absolutely. I see that our justice system is being weaponized. Conservatives are being prosecuted for doing minimal things, and leftists are being allowed to loot stores and burn down cities. And now, like you pointed out, I mean, there was no point during Joe Biden's career prior to being president where he had any authorization to take and keep classified documents at his house. He did it when he was a senator. He did it when he was vice president. And they're not prosecuting him, even though he clearly committed a crime. Whereas they're trying to invent crimes against Donald Trump when he was actually president. He had full authority to take any classified document he wanted, take it home with him, and call it declassified. He didn't need to go through any special process. He was the executive.
So the thing is, I've been into Tucker Carlson's case, even though I subscribe to his network and pay, you know, to watch these videos. He is constantly using the D word, and I get so incensed. He's, I don't know which is worse, him or Pelosi, because every time she opens her mouth, Chatty Cathy, democracy, democracy, democracy. You just pull the string. And we do not have a democracy. We have a constitutional republic. But just like Joseph Goebbels said, you say the word long enough, you change the words, you change the culture. And as long as you keep saying democracy, everybody will keep using that word and they'll forget about constitutional republic. Where do you stand on all this?
Well, I am 100% a constitutional conservative, and that's why I'm running for U.S. Senate, because right now we need a real conservative that is going to stand up for our constitutional rights here in the state of Florida. Right now we've got a rhino senator, Rick Scott, and we can do better. Yeah, we could do worse, but we can do better. He's voted for gun confiscation red flag laws. He's voted to expand and extend warrantless spying on Americans under FISA. I mean, he did the same sorts of things when he was governor. He backed up Obama's unconstitutional DACA program. We can do a lot better here in the state of Florida. Rick Scott does not match our values.
All right. Well, besides the fact that last time you were on the show, I took issue with Rick Scott putting his Navy hat on and telling everybody that the storm, you know, turning I-75 into a parking lot. That's another thing that he did and just caused mass chaos in the state right in the middle of a hurricane. So the thing, as far as common sense goes, I mean, this guy has been in Congress too long, just like John Cronin. I mean, there's a Cronin. There's a whole bunch of these cronies. That's the word I was looking for, that have to go. And if they're going to be preaching democracy, they need to be voted out. I mean, it's bad enough over the weekend. Here we have Ilhan Omar and what's her face? The other one. Well, Rashida Tlaib was hanging out with the leftists that apparently are on some terrorist watch list. And then you've got, you know, two of these people, Cori Bush and Omar, that confused Memorial Day with Veterans Day. I mean, you know, anybody that does that, that doesn't understand that, doesn't understand the Constitution, they don't need to be there either. Why do people keep voting these people in?
You know, I think it's that they don't have another choice. Too often people are bullied out of running in these primaries. And so it gets to be, you know, people tell me all over the state, when I've been doing a bus tour now, we've hit over 60 counties on our bus tour since January. And at almost every event, there's a line of people that line up to say hi to me. And they tell me, I'm glad you're running because we only voted for Rick because we had no other choice. It was either him or the Democrat. We had no choice. I'm glad we finally have a choice in the primary. So that's
good.
What
well,
I've been spreading the word. Folks got to get involved in primaries. August 20th is ours here in Florida. And that's the ball game. Whoever wins our primary will be our next senator till 2030. So I hope folks choose carefully.
Yeah, I hope so too. Well, here's the thing. You know, the rank and file, this is just how they behave. Now, Florida has 67 counties, for those of you who know the state. All those counties have records, public records, that are online, all right? And this is one of the things, that, you know, when the sand states got hit in the foreclosure crisis, Florida took a bath. And now you have a lot of people moving to Florida. You have an illegal immigrant crisis that they're trying to fend off. What is Scott not doing to help that effort? And you hear a lot of complaints about it.
He's making everything worse. He says the right things when he's making tweets or on Fox News. He talks about let's secure the border and this, that, and the other. He votes to send hundreds of billions of dollars to Ukraine rather than secure our border. He votes to give away all of this money to illegals while saying he's not for illegal immigrants. But he voted with all the Democrats to pass the same continuing resolution that Matt Gaetz fired McCarthy over. And that's, of course, a whole different ball of worms. But the idea is it's the uniparty establishment versus we the people, not Democrats versus Republicans anymore. And Rick Scott's been voting with the uniparty. He's voted with Mitch McConnell over 95% of the time. And now most people don't know this, Dave, but Mitch McConnell is actually backing Rick Scott in his primary against me. Team Mitch is one of Rick Scott's official fundraising committees on his federal election commission paperwork.
Mm-mm.
They just pretend to be opposed in public. In the back room, they're working together.
Yeah, well, they're working with the Democrats, too, because they're both rhinos. They're both rhinos, folks.
That's what folks don't understand.
I don't know. Just because he served in the Navy doesn't mean anything. I mean, if they're using the democracy word, they don't need to be in office anymore, folks. Because this is what killed the Greek states. I mean, if you did not do your world history, you do not understand how all of this happened. But it ruined, democracy ruined the Greek states. And it's going to ruin this country. I don't see any other solution other than to get more constitutional conservative Republicans back in power. There's just no other way around it. If you keep voting for the same party line garbage, you're going to get the same negative results. It's not going to stop. The backlash, the commentary, I mean, are you getting the crowds? Are you monitoring Because you have trackers out there monitoring what Rick Scott is doing around the state. Because obviously, since he's up for grabs in election year, then you're obviously monitoring what he's doing. Yeah. And are you following his campaign and going around and just basically stomping out what he's claiming to be false and bringing up? I mean, this is not mudslinging. Obviously, you're trying to fight fair. But how are people responding to your speeches and what they're saying? I mean, where are you in the votes and the polls? I mean, are you doing any kind of polling?
Yeah, we've done some polling. We haven't released them, but where we see is Rick in the low 40s and tracking downwards, and I've been coming up in the polls pretty consistently. So we're right on track for winning this primary the way we set out to do. At our town hall meetings, which we've been doing multiple town halls per county for the last few months, we've been getting hundreds of people come out. They're excited, they're fired up, they're ready for change. Rick Scott's events often draw a dozen, two or three dozen people, and he's a sitting U.S. senator. He's been focused on building these so-called coalitions and trying to get endorsements. You know, he basically got the Florida legislators bullied into endorsing him because he does a lot of fundraising for the state party. And he thinks endorsements are a good idea. And, you know, I think endorsements make you feel good when you're running for office, but that doesn't move the votes necessarily. And he, of all people, should know that. You know, when he ran for governor in 2010, he ran against Bill McCollum, who had every endorsement under the sun at the time. He was fully backed and endorsed by the state party. And the guy with all the endorsements lost. That's what we're about to see here again in August. Rick Scott is going to lose to a political outsider because people want change, not a career politician.
Well, we've seen enough of that. Let's find out as far as endorsement goes. And the people that are currently trying to do the right thing for Florida, like Matt Gaetz and Marco Rubio, have you had a chance to sit down with them and talk to them about endorsing you or about how to play these back channels? Or is Marco Rubio also in bed with Rick Scott?
Yeah, Marco Rubio and the entire Florida congressional delegation, including Matt Gaetz, surprisingly enough, they were all bullied into backing Rick Scott, basically. I think they were all told their fundraising would be dried up if they didn't back Rick Scott. And I've seen it firsthand. You know, when I've tried to do any sort of fundraising on the early part of this campaign, it was every door slammed in my face saying, no way, no how. So I've funded this entire campaign myself, basically. All but maybe $50,000 that we've raised, I've spent millions of my own cash to actually get our message out because it's worth it. You know, I tell people I'm not running against Rick. I'm running for America. And that's because I believe everything I have, I owe to the American dream. And I will spend every dollar I've got defending it.
Makes sense. KeithGross.com is the website. And you obviously have a donation button on there, right?
Yeah, we do. And, you know, any help moves the needle. And it sends a message to the Uniparty that the people are united for change.
Right. Now, I want to talk about the book because you have various sections on here about basically, and see, when Trump first got into office, and you haven't been endorsed by Trump, right?
Nope, I have not. I'm sure he will get behind me after I win the primary, but until then, I'm on my own.
So is he endorsing Scott right now?
He is.
Oh, God.
You know why? Susie Wiles has Trump's ear, and Susie Wiles used to be Rick's chief of staff.
You see how this system works, folks? You see how this works? Keith, I know you know that.
I do. I don't like it, but it's how it works. And, you know, we've got to send outsiders up there to disrupt it. We've got to get rid of the deep state. We've got to get rid of these bureaucrats that are pulling strings behind the shadows. And we've got to put things back in order for the people before it's too late.
Now, see, when Trump first got into office, I thought, okay, now they got a CEO who knows how to play the system running the country. My attitude about him, because he became more of a politician as time progressed, but he is not the politician that George H.W. Bush was, who raised more money while in the White House than any other president during this era. And so I just got to wonder, as far as your history and where you are right now, and the support that you are getting, the current support, is no one in the state of Florida endorsing you at all or supporting you at all?
You know, I've gotten one major national endorsement, and I'm proud that it is the one I've gotten. It's from the Republican Liberty Caucus. They are full backers of people like Rand Paul, for example. Mm-hmm. And those are the people that I associate with. You know, I'm not going to go play the political games and chase endorsements from all these politicians, because I'm not going to owe anyone anything when I get up there. I'll get up there under my own steam, and I will be accountable to God and my fellow Floridians and no one else.
Well, that's a good to know. As far as living the American dream, and this is what basically your book goes into, it's a rag to riches story. Can you give us a quick synopsis without giving away the whole book?
You know, I grew up in North Florida, like you said, and it's more cows than people in much of North Florida. It's not all beaches and palm trees up there. And I grew up working on my grandparents' farm. My family lived in a trailer when I was a kid. Like you said, I worked at a gas station and learned a lot about business basics just working in a gas station. From there, went on to put myself through college, built and partnered in a fledgling service business. We grew it to a national company over the course of about 10 years, one of the largest of its type in the country. It was a truck washing firm, and we sold it off to private equity in 2018. That was more money than I ever thought I'd see in my life, but I was 35, so I couldn't retire quite yet. So I got back to work, built two more companies from the ground up, national franchise systems, and we sold those off in 2023. And that's when I decided, now that I am not going to have so much public-facing business, I'm going to get to work fixing this country, because that's more important than anything else. It doesn't matter how many companies you build, how successful you are. If we don't put this nation back together, I don't want my kids and grandkids to inherit the kind of country it's going to become.
Pretty sad. Tell me about your campaign staff.
Yeah, we've got a pretty decent campaign staff. We've got some of the best folks in the business running strategy and polling. We've got a great ground team and a bus driver and a whole bunch of folks that are helping us move around the state and put on these basically every night of the week. Most weeks we're doing a town hall somewhere in the state, and these folks make it all work.
Wow. So you own the bus, or you lease the bus?
Well, I bought the bus via a company that I own, and then I lease it to the campaign, because, you know, that's what one of the FEC complaints, one of the baseless FEC complaints that was filed against me, interestingly enough, by the NRSC, the National Republican Senatorial Committee that used to be headed by Rick Scott. They're all backing Rick Scott because it's still Rick's staff. And so they've been making all sorts of baseless complaints, including that I took an illegal contribution from a corporation. And what they mean is the corporation that owns my bus that I am the only shareholder of. Of course, the FEC rules let me give an infinite amount of money to my campaign. And they filed a complaint saying that I took a free lease of the bus, and that's just because they were impatient. Of course, we paid the lease payment and reported it on the following report, but they were too impatient to wait for that. My favorite baseless complaint so far is that I am an out-of-state Democrat who's failed at everything. But yeah, I am literally the only guy who is running for this seat who is a native Floridian. Rick Scott lived in Nashville before he came down here to run for governor and escape federal prosecution after pleading guilty to 14 felonies.
Wow. And see, and look what they're doing, trying to beat up Trump. This is what blows my mind. What is your, I know everybody's got an opinion here. Out of curiosity, does Corey Mills support you?
You know, I wish he would, but the entire congressional delegation from the state of Florida, they were all bullied into doing one joint press conference where they all said, we endorse Rick Scott.
How do you bully somebody? I mean, can't these people grow a pair? I mean, how is it? I mean, I get really upset when I see the machine, and that's what this is. And Florida's got one. And this is why Florida has the problems it has. And see, with the more people that are moving to Florida right now and Texas, some people are leaving Florida and moving to Texas and elsewhere because Florida is starting to get more problems. And part of the problem is that when you start taxing the infrastructure, the cost of everything goes up because, I mean, they got to charge more. I mean, property taxes right now, the IRS limits you to $7,000 a year. But some of the property taxes on some of these properties, especially the ones along the coast, are into the tens of thousands of dollars. You can't write all that off. So, you know, I got to wonder, even if we don't have a state income tax, if this keeps on going the way it is, property taxes are going to escalate, and they may even have to entertain imposing income tax in Florida in order to compensate for all this. Do you see that happening?
You know, I don't see us having an income tax here in the state of Florida. I see that we've got a budget surplus right now, but we've got to stop spending so much money at every level of government. People want too much from government. They need to start doing more for themselves, and we should have a much smaller government. That's what our founding fathers envisioned: small government and individual responsibility, self-reliance. We've got to get back to that, or we're going to be taxed into oblivion at the federal and state level.
All right, so the other thing, too, and this is most important because of the fact that you saw Ron DeSantis run against Trump. He called him sanctimonious. I mean, all this mudslinging went down.
Yeah.
Have you had a chance to talk to the governor? And what does the governor think about your campaign and what you're doing? And would he endorse you?
You know, I suspect he would endorse me. I haven't met with him, haven't asked. Mm. I have been focused purely on taking my message directly to voters. Like I said, I haven't focused at all on getting the endorsements of other politicians because I'm not a politician and I don't necessarily want to associate with politicians. I'm a business guy. I'm an outsider. I'm a constitutional conservative. And I want to talk directly to the voters because that's the people I care about.
Right. But then you get into Congress as a senator and you've got 99 other, you know, people of various persuasions.
Yeah.
And they don't all think like business people. They think they're politicians and they get all this money when they get there and they get honoraria and they set up trusts and they leave way more endowed financially than they were when they got there. And that seems to be the modus operandi of the way things run in Congress.
It certainly is. You know, the only exception I can think of in recent history who went into politics and came out with less money is Donald Trump. And I intend to follow that plan and that path. You know, I'm not going up there to make money. I've done great in life and I've got more than I ever thought I was going to have. So certainly not going up there to make money. There are good people in Congress now and they need backup. There's only a handful of them and we've got to get more of them elected. We've got to get more people up there willing to not compromise on constitutional values. Everybody says you got to compromise to get things done, and maybe that's true on some things, but there are some things you do not compromise. Constitutional values are fixed. They are not something you negotiate. They just are. And we've got to get people who are willing to make that work, you know? People willing to stand up and have the backbone to disrupt business as usual. Because if we keep electing go-along-to-get-along politicians like Rick Scott, they're going to keep caving into the Democrats time after time, and they're going to go and give a good talk on TV saying how hard they tried. But trying doesn't count for anything, folks. You either succeed or you fail. Trying doesn't matter.
So the big thing is who you align with. Obviously, there's Senator Rand Paul. There's Senator Tom Cotton. People like this that, I mean, you're going to have friends when you get there to help steer things in the right direction if you manage to unseat Rick Scott. Missouri congressman. Name escapes me at the moment, but it's just we're in this conversation here. Have you tried to contact any of these current senators that you believe are heading us in the right direction?
Yeah, I've reached out to Rand Paul's office and got a call back. They haven't scheduled a meeting yet, but I've asked for one, and I suspect they will set a meeting. That's the person who I align most closely with. You know, Rand Paul's been out there speaking the truth about government overreach and defending our constitutional rights for a long time. He needs backup. We've got other good people up there, too, though. You got people that are fighting the good fight, not always in ways that I agree with, but they're at least going down the right path. People like Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, J.D. Vance, you know, and then you've got people like Tommy Tuberville, and they're using every rule in the rule book to make a difference. You know, he's a good example of someone that used the rules as a single senator to force change on the national level. He dug his heels in with the Department of Defense and forced them to follow federal law, which forbids them from spending our tax dollars on abortion. He stopped everything that went to his committee until they started honoring that law. And I'm willing to go up there and do that. I will dig my heels in on constitutional issues, and I will block everything that comes to my committee. So they're either going to follow our laws and honor our Constitution, or I will do everything I can to defund and shut down this government.
Right. Josh Hawley is the other one I was thinking about. When you get there, I mean, I'm assuming, you know, this is going to be a hard fight. First off, you got to make the primary. When's the primary date in Florida?
in August 20th, we've got our primary here in Florida. But, you know, there's early voting, and we should start to see some interesting movement happening a little before that. But August 20th is the date to put on your calendars here in Florida.
All right. So the thing is you are following everything that Scott's campaign is doing and the thing that they're saying. Have we gotten to mudslinging yet?
We haven't really gotten to mudslinging because I don't have to sling any mud. All I have to do is tell the truth. Now, they've been making up stuff against me. They say I'm an out-of-state Democrat when I'm a Florida native. And it's true that when I was in my 20s, I thought I was a Democrat like most kids. I grew up. That's not that surprising, you know. I've supported Donald Trump since 2015, and I don't know how else to put it, you know. I believe in conservative values, and that's what's made my life work the way it has. So I'm certainly interested in preserving our constitutional rights and our freedoms for the next generation rather than watching them slip away. We don't have a lot of mudslinging because all I've got to do is tell the truth. But we do have a debate scheduled. Wayne Allen Root of Real America's Voice has invited Rick Scott and I to a debate on June 1st in Tampa. That's coming up just this weekend, and I have accepted and said I'll be there. They tell me there's been no response from the Rick Scott team as to whether or not he's going to show up, and I'm guessing he's too afraid to confront his record.
I got a question because, see, this has happened before. There was somebody who's supposed to debate in Georgia against Fannie Willis, and she didn't show up, and the other district attorney kept looking over saying, why aren't you here? You know, I think I would show up either way and tell Wayne Allen Root, who's been on the show, by the way, that you will be there hell or high water, whether Rick Scott shows up or not. Yep. And, you know, you make yourself heard. I mean, is this going to be televised?
Yeah, so it's going to be filmed and it's going to be on Wayne Allen Root's television show on Real America's Voice. And like you said, I'm showing up either way. I believe the people of Florida have the right to ask questions and get answers out of the people that are looking to represent them in the United States Senate. And if Rick Scott doesn't think the people of Florida deserve that transparency, then I hope the people will fire him because he needs to be retired. He's been up there too long, and we need fresh people. If you want change, change the people. If you keep electing the same people, you're going to get the same results. Simple as that.
So can you get his people to get in touch, or can your people get in touch? We would like to, if he's going to live stream this, we would like to carry that show.
Okay. I'll make sure that we get you in touch with that.
Yeah, I really would get a hold of our producer, Catherine, and see if we can't get something set up to make sure that we get you on there, because I seriously would like to see a debate between the two of you, because I don't know, you're going to have some serious talking points. So many people now are disgruntled with what happened in Little Rock with this Brian Malinowski case. I'm sure you heard about that, where the ATF broke in his house at 6 o'clock in the morning at 6:01 and shot him in the head. He thought he was being home invaded. What would you do as far as they want to defund the police and everybody's screaming defund the police? Would you get rid of the ATF or defund or shrink the budgets of these agencies that have weaponized themselves over time?
You know, the ATF shouldn't exist. Just in the last handful of decades, we had no such thing as federal law enforcement at all. And if you look at the Constitution, we shouldn't have federal law enforcement. We should have state law enforcement. There's no reason we can't have federal investigative agencies that are tightly controlled and answerable. But we should not have agencies like the ATF that make their own rules and enforce them. They should go to the local sheriffs for enforcement, not kick down people's doors, shoot their dogs, and murder people in their own homes.
Yeah, well, I guarantee you Grady Judd wouldn't let that happen. Anyway, I appreciate that. Keith Gross, thank you so much. The website is keithgross.com. Support the campaign, folks, if you don't want to see the same thing over and over again for the next 6 years. Thank you so much for being on. Thank you for your service. We'll talk soon. Take care.
Bye, Dave.
The Sapira Mall has been a trailblazer, leading the way in providing our customers with only the best health, wellness, and readiness products. We have worked hand in hand, helping to grow many small businesses, and we continue to provide exceptional customer service, educating our customers so they can make informed purchases. You can shop with confidence, knowing that we have personally vetted every product that we offer. Your health and well-being means so much to us. We have championed voting with your dollars. And when you shop with the Power Mall, you are helping to keep ever so important and often censored health information in the forefront. Buy from the good guys. shopthepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
Come to the Power Mall today and purchase Mediterranean Black Seed Oil from North American Urban Spice. Exclusively from the genetic source and never standardized. Cold-pressed, it's so good it supports cardiovascular, respiratory, immune, digestive, neurologic health, and so much more. Said to be good for everything but death itself, come find the best prices on Black Seed capsules or 8-ounce varieties when you visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829 to purchase.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I have a good friend with me here today. She has been taking the calcium bentonite clay that she purchased from the Power Mall for many, many years now. And I asked her to sit with me and explain to the listeners what she uses the clay for.
Thanks. So just to let you know, we use it on a daily basis. I will put a teaspoon of calcium bentonite clay into a glass of water and drink it before bed for detox. We've done weekly foot soaks for my husband who has diabetes. We use it for facials. I use it once a week for my clay bath detox. We've used it on spider bites, insect bites, and I've also used it for the swelling in my ankle after surgery.
Oh, yes, I do remember when you had the surgery. To order the clay, please call 877-817-9829 or go to thepowermall.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Many Americans are growing increasingly concerned about the rapidly growing U.S. government deficits, recognizing that the additional printing of paper money devalues U.S. currency. To compensate, American gold and silver coins will provide wealth protection. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins delivered directly to our clients. You can reach us at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Why invest in all the great natural supplements from the Power Mall and then use a toothpaste loaded with harmful synthetic chemicals like fluoride? You want really healthy checkups, right? People who switch to Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are reporting healthy-looking gums and whiter teeth. Both the Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash are formulated with natural products like zinc, folic acid, cloves, and myrrh. It's nature's answer to preventing plaque, reducing the development of cavities, and promoting healthy teeth and gums. Vitamir toothpaste comes in original formula and also with CoQ10 and xylitol, as well as in a great-tasting orange-flavored children's formula, too. Get Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash from the Power Mall today, and you, too, can have healthy checkups. Call 877-817-9829. Or order from thepowermall.com.
Minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, where we are, and we continue our conversation regarding yesterday. We had Ernie Gallo on. He was on board the USS Liberty when it was attacked on June 8, 1967. And we have Phil Turney on. Phil Turney is a U.S. Navy petty officer. He is the current president of USS Liberty Veterans Association. Phil Turney, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it very much you have me on, and what a great day to have it on right after Memorial Day.
Well, that's one of the reasons I'm glad that Ernie was on yesterday and you're on today, because it's a continuation of everything that, you know, the U.S. government is famous for covering up. You know, that we just read this article this morning, or posted an article this morning, about them trying to breach the Quantico Marine Base. A couple of Jordanians in a box truck, one that's on the terror watch list. So, you know, when you get stuff like that going on, then you hear stories about what happened on the USS Liberty. You were at a different place than Ernie Gallo was. I mean, obviously, you know who Ernie is. Where were you on board the Liberty when it was attacked? And give us the your take on this.
Yeah, well, I was on, first off, I was in engineering. I was in the engineering department. My damage control position was assistant on scene leader in the repair party. And I was on deck 90% of the time of the aerial attack and the torpedo boats until the torpedo boat threw their torpedoes in us, or one of them anyway, and then I went below deck. But it was very sad to see your fellow shipmates blown apart, pieces missing from them, and it was relentless. It was relentless from the IDF, and they knew exactly who we were. Exactly. They identified us as American and friendly, the U.S. spy ship. We were the most sophisticated spy ship in the world at that time, with the greatest talent on board that ship, the NSA and CIA spies. And our own government set this up to be slaughtered by the Zionist state, and that's a true fact.
Boy, that's sad. And you'd been in the Navy a little over 3 years when this happened. You served two tours on the USS Mauna Kea in the waters off Vietnam. Then you were transferred to the USS Liberty and in June of 67 when this happened. Were you there when the strafing started? Because I understand that Israeli aircraft strafed the top of the ship, and it was a repeated pummeling that was going on when it first happened.
Yes, it was. I was actually, I just secured from general quarters. We had a general quarters station on chemical drill, and I was dressed up in an impregnated suit, acting like we were forcing down the ship from a chemical attack. Just something we did on different bases. We did different things at that time, but this particular day, it's a chemical attack. Beautiful day, flag flying. We had no worries about anybody in the world, especially our friends Israel, because they overflew us over and over again and dipping their wings with the Star David on them, getting, you know, these are reconnaissance aircraft, flying boxcar and others. So we felt very comfortable, and I secured my gear and went up to the forward gun mount on the starboard side. The sound power phones weren't working, and I requested a high seaman to come up to the forward gun mount and get the sound power phones working. He came up, and we shot the breeze for a little bit. I said, well, I better get out of here, you know. I don't like to be lollygagging, you know. The captain's up there looking at everybody on deck, and he's very, very strict. You know, when you get done with your job, you go back to your other job. But so I just left. But before that, there was the gunman up there. He was the Alexander Thompson. He was a gunman. And I said, guys, I'd hate to be here just in case we ever got attacked, and I'll be darned. I just left them and went down to my duty station probably about 30 seconds, and they were both blown to bits.
Oh, my gosh. And if you would have been there, you wouldn't be here right now having this conversation, right?
No, sir. All power goes to glory of God. We were just in service that day.
Wow. Well, that's just, that's sad that they would even happen. But the thing is that they flew over you, making it look like they were just, you know, out making a run, just making sure that the border was secure. But from what Ernie was telling us yesterday, that there may have been some pickup on their intel about what the Israeli government was doing, murdering Egyptian hostages, soldiers that they had taken custody of.
That is very true. In fact, James Bamford, a famous author, a very good author and a friend of mine. And in his book, he has several of them, Body of Secrets, he goes through that in the Puzzle Palace. But, they were executing soldiers because it was the most expedient thing they could do. And they buried him. They shot him and buried him, or buried him alive as the war went on. And that's how brutal it was, and that's what going on. What went on that day, and sadly, say there's a lot of that going on right now.
Right. Well, see, and that's the other thing that I want to talk about here is, you know, like Maximus Marlowe of Liberty University wrote this article, "Accident or Intentional Attack," and from you being there and understanding what's going on with this, he published this at Liberty University, as a matter of fact, under the Montview Journal of Research and Scholarship in 2023. More and more attention is being paid to what's going on. And, you know, this guy that wrote this is ethnically half Jewish, and he's got relatives who have gotten citizenship to the state of Israel. But after this incident, he was shocked at the fact it was covered up. And the thing is when did you first start to discover that the U.S. government wanted nothing to do with this getting out to the mainstream?
Yes. Well, after they fired over 850 cannon and rocket holes on our ship, over 5,000 armored piercing they brought our ship, burning it up with napalm they dropped on our ship, shooting firefighters and stretcher bearers on deck with their torpedo boats, for this two-hour attack, and then putting a 40-by-40-foot hole on our starboard side. We didn't know who was attacking us until the Israelis got there with their Star of David. But to go into the cover-up, that was immediate with when Admiral Isaac Kidd came aboard our ship and dressed us all down. Now, a lot of the communication guys left the ship. A lot of the other deck people left the ship because they were severely injured. But I stayed aboard the Liberty and brought her home from Malta. Admiral Kidd, I was in the sick bay. He had four or five of us together, and I told him what I saw, what I thought, and I didn't know help was recalled from us twice at that time. But he would not, he didn't entertain anything I wanted to say. I told him our flag was flying. They had recon, a song. They shot the life rafts. I saw that. He didn't want to hear any of it. He says, as far as I'm concerned, if you ever say anything about this to anybody, including your parents, especially the media, anybody else, even your own crewmates, you will end up in prison or worse. He says, you know what worse means? I said, yes, sir.
Wow.
And that's when the cover up started.
All right. So this is, you said it was an admiral?
Admiral Isaac Kidd.
And he threatened you?
Yes, sir. He sure did.
Yeah. Well, see, now, Phil, the thing that gets me is when somebody comes up and they say, you aren't to speak a word of this, you, it was perfectly obvious to you that at that time or somewhere afterwards, you figured out that this ship was supposed to be at the bottom of the ocean. Is that my understanding?
You hit the nail on the head, sir. You hit the nail on the head. The whole deal with them sending us there was to keep us alone. We asked for help. We asked for help not once but twice. You know, at least have an escort, a DD or court or something, because we only had 450 caliber machines on our ship. We're going right into the middle of a war zone. We were only 12 miles off the coast. You could see the bombs dropping and the smoke and noise. And our own government set us up there to sink. The Israelis were going to sink us fast. They were going to sink us fast. That's what they thought. But they couldn't sink our ship. They didn't sink it, so plans changed. we almost got a nuclear war over this. Tactical nukes were on the way to bomb Cairo because they were going to blame it on Nasser and Egypt and bring us into the war. And Israel would have owned all the Middle East then, not just the part they already got now or taken now. That was the plan. And our government, ever since then, has bended back over, bended back their backs over for Israel, and not even taken the word of the best CIA, NSA spies in the world. We're the biggest whistleblowers in the world, and nobody wants to listen to us.
Well, now, we are.
That's a shame. I know you are.
We're listening, and I got two things. Were you guys that were on board that ship, were any of you carrying sidearms?
No, sir. They were locked up in the arms locker, the small arms locker. I tried to get into that small arms locker, and I couldn't do it. It was locked up. I tried everything. I used the axe, everything, but there was so much going on. I just, there's other things I had to do, and I left out one thing. They sent over troop-carrying helicopters to finish us off.
Yeah. Ernie mentioned that they hovered above you, but the thing is there was so much antenna and so much stuff there in the way, they couldn't land without risking destroying the helicopter in addition to everybody on deck.
Yeah, I don't know if they were going to land. I thought they were going to rope down, is what I was thinking, because we were unarmed. And, they would just finish us off the scuttle ship. Nobody would be the wiser. And America would have heard, oh, my God, the Egyptians, they just sunk an American ship and killed all 294 souls aboard. What do you think America would have done? And they had the American people behind them. But the snake LBJ did that.
Yeah. Yeah, we had heard that yesterday, and I know that there have been people out there, and you have done some stuff previously in radio broadcasts about what happened with the Liberty. The thing is I'm just wondering that the fact that the locker, the small arms locker, was locked up and you couldn't access it, that just speaks volumes, because anybody that would have come on, and this is the thing about today's military versus what you guys faced, if somebody would have given you, because of the fact you took an oath like I did to the Constitution of the United States to defend against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, and then they basically tie one arm behind your back, which is pretty much what, it looked like from, you not being allowed to get to the small arms locker, you couldn't defend yourself if they did rope down. But then this admiral has the unmitigated audacity to come on board and tell you and threaten you, and you didn't have access to a small arms locker where you could have put a bullet in that guy's head for violating the Constitution, because basically what he was doing was telling you that you could not uphold the Constitution. He was countermanding the Constitution in my book. Is that a fair statement?
That's about as fair as I've heard it ever said right there. Thank you for that.
I just, this is impossible, because, this is half of what went on in Iraq and Afghanistan. You basically had, when you were there serving, you had your hand tied behind your back. This is the same way it was in Vietnam. I'm tired of these wars, and obviously so are a lot of our listeners. Sherry in Kansas, do you have a question for Phil Turney?
Yeah, Phil, if you have time before your time runs out, talk about the memorial that y'all already have made and how you're having trouble finding a place for it, because the government...
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that very much, that question. Yes, we, right here in my state of Colorado, I live on the western slope here, and there's a friend of mine here that does monuments, and I asked her if she would do a monument for the USS Liberty, and she says, well, let me think about it. And a few days later, she says, I'd be glad to. And I said, listen, there's controversy behind this. If you really want to do it, you might get some flack or get in trouble. And she said, I really don't care. So that's what happened. We got it built. It's a beautiful 6 foot tall marble monument, the same type of marble that came out of that went into the Washington Monument and Lincoln Memorial, and all of them is done right here in Marble, Colorado. But that's where the stone came from. It's all marble. It's beautiful. We got it done. We couldn't find a home. The Navy didn't want it. The NSA didn't want it. The CIA didn't want it. And the National Spy Museum didn't want it. So how deep does this cover-up go? I mean, our congressmen, all of them are bought and paid for. Our presidents, from Johnson to Biden, has not said a word about the USS Liberty because they're afraid of offending their ally, Israel. Yeah, okay. Well, listen, if they're their ally, they didn't fight in Vietnam with us. They didn't fight in any other war for us. But they get a free check every month, and they murder Americans. They got more money after they murdered men aboard the USS Liberty than anybody in this world, and they're still getting tons of it.
Yeah, they are.
They murder Americans and get paid for it.
Well, see, and now, so I would assume, Phil, and thank you, Sherry, for your call. I would assume, Phil, that you, as far as the way you look at, somebody ordered these Israeli planes and torpedo boats and helicopters to try to sink the USS Liberty. And, I mean, somebody in the United States was coordinating at that time. Was it Ariel Sharon that was running things over there?
No, Levy Esko was running it. He was a prime minister. And,
right.
And then the, oh, my, the one-eyed guy. Oh, I can't even think of his name now.
Menachem Begin?
Yeah, no, not Menachem Begin.
Not Begin, no.
No, he had the patch over his eyes. Come on, Phil, what do you think about that?
I know, this is taking you back a ways here, but see, I guess the bottom line is, Phil, is why people seem to want to continue to support Israel and give them all this money and all these weapons. I mean, clearly Israel can take care of itself. Why do you think Israel was trying to team up to promote World War III? Was it all about the Zionist movement trying to clear out Gaza and clear out Iran and, you know, take over the entire Middle East corridor? You know, I don't understand. You know, right now they're just trying to destroy Palestine. But your whole opinion of Israel after that day had to have changed, and it's probably still the same way today. What's your take?
Yeah, my is pretty much what you described. But you know, if you really think about it, it's been that way a lot longer than the 1967. Back longer than that, but anything Israel wants, Israel gets from the United States, and that's wrong. I mean, we don't do that for any other country. They're preferred over any. But, you know, when people do that, Johnson and coordinate with Levy Esko, Moshe Dayan, as soon as I was thinking about it.
Moshe Dayan, yeah. Yeah, this is a sad state of affairs. And so you have a book out called What I Saw That Day, Israel's June 8, 1967 Holocaust of U.S. Servicemen Aboard the USS Liberty and Its Aftermath. And so you basically, because a lot of the communications texts, according to Ernie, were dropped off in Malta when it docked. And you actually rowed the boat. You rowed the ship back to port in Norfolk, right?
Right. We were there in Malta for 33 days. In fact, they sent us 1,000 miles. We had a 40 by 40 foot hole in our side. And they sent us 1,000 miles with so many wounded and dead aboard the ship to Malta, where we could have went to Crete. Maybe they were hoping we'd sink on the way and it would be over with. But that didn't happen. They recalled aircraft from USS America, USS Saratoga, too. They could have helped us, and they recalled it. Johnson and McNamara did that.
All right, so now we have two guilty parties that can't answer it because they're 6 feet under. And this is a problem because all of this corrupt government that we have in the United States of America, I mean, here we took an oath to uphold, preserve, defend the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic, and then you had to live through this. I mean, this has not changed your perception at all of the Constitution, has it?
No, the Constitution is solid in my mind. It always will be. I love the Constitution. I just wish our politicians loved it as much as the men they send out to war as pop-up targets. I wish they'd think about it a little bit more before they do things like that. Wow. I'm not just talking about this war. You know, same thing in Vietnam.
Exactly.
You know, we walk out of, you know, and it's just on and on. Afghanistan, all of it. You know, it just, I was so sad. You know, those men and women who got killed that day just trying to help people, and so many others on the other side wanting help, and they got blown to bits too. And American service members that are wounded and hurt for life. It's sad.
It is. Well, I appreciate you recapping some of this with us, being a U.S. Navy petty officer and being aboard the USS Liberty when this happened. And you're currently the Veterans Association president for the USS Liberty group. And we appreciate your service, Phil Turney, and everything that you've done so far. And I hope that you find a place for that monument.
We did in Tidewater, Virginia. VFW, post 4809, taking it.
Wonderful. All right. There you have it, folks. We're done for today. Phil Turney, thank you for joining us. God bless you. And ladies and gentlemen, we will see you tomorrow for our Hump Day edition here at the Power Hour. In the meantime, God bless you and God bless the United States of America.
Harmful organisms are everywhere affecting your health and well-being. Fortunately, there's a solution. Paratrax is a unique formula designed to help create an environment that's hostile to invading organisms. Made with a blend of herbs and other natural ingredients such as wormwood, which has often been used in traditional medicine as a dewormer. If unwanted organisms are affecting your health, Paratrax can help bring it all back in balance. Order today from thepowermill.com or call 877-817-9829.
Are you tired of trying to figure out how to get all your fruits and vegetables into your busy lifestyle? OptiVita Complete Essentials provides you with 22 whole food vitamins and minerals, 29 fruits and vegetables, probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for ultimate health and nutrition. 30 individual packs, now less than $3 per day. Get your OptiVita Complete Essentials by calling 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
My husband is a welder by trade, but he grinds his welding products, and he doesn't wear a helmet or a mask to do that. And he had this cruddy stuff in his lungs, and it just wasn't going away. And I heard you one time talking about the Sera enzyme for the lungs, and my goodness, I mean, he can breathe so much easier, and I don't hear that crud in his lungs. Thank you so very much.
To find out more about this product or others like it, go to our website at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Jay's standing by to take your call. Now more than ever, we need your support. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.